ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। Hare Krishna, reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 2, The Cosmic Manifestation, Chapter 8, Questions by King Parikshit. And today we will read text 18. Nrinam Sadharano Dharma Savisheshascha Yadrishah Shreninam Rajarushinam Cha Dharma Kritsreshu Jivatam Nrinam Sadharano Dharma Savisheshascha Yadrishah Shreninam Rajarushinam Cha Dharma Kritsreshu Jivatam. Nrinam Sadharano Dharma Savisheshascha Yadrishah Shreninam Rajarushinam Cha Dharma Kritsreshu Jivatam. Nrinam Sadharano Dharma Savisheshascha Yadrishah Shreninam Rajarushinam Cha Dharma Kritsreshu Jivatam. Nrinam Sadharano Dharma Savisheshascha Yadrishah Shreninam Rajarushinam Cha Dharma Kritsreshu Jivatam. Nrinam Sadharano Dharma Savisheshascha Yadrishah Shreninam Rajarushinam Cha Dharma Kritsreshu Jivatam. Mataji. Nrinam Sadharano Dharma Savisheshascha Yadrishah Shreninam Rajarushinam Cha Dharma Kritsreshu Jivatam. Mataji. Nrinam Sadharano Dharma Savisheshascha Yadrishah Shreninam Rajarushinam Cha Dharma Kritsreshu Jivatam. Nrinam Sadharano Dharma Savisheshascha Yadrishah Shreninam Rajarushinam Cha Dharma Kritsreshu Jivatam. Word to word. Nrinam, of human society. Sadharana, general. Dharma, religious affiliation. Savishesha, specific. Cha, also. Yadrusha, as they are. Sreninam of the particular three classes. Rajrishinam of the saintly royal order. Cha also. Dharma, occupational duty. Krishreshu, in the matter of distressed conditions. Jivatam, of the living beings. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace, Srila Prabhupada. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Translation. Please also explain what may generally be the common religious affiliations of human society, as well as their specific occupational duties in religion. The classification of the social orders, as well as the administrative royal orders, and the religious principles for one who may be in distress. Purport. The common religion of all classes of human beings, regardless of whosoever and whatsoever one may be, is devotional service. Even the animals may be included in devotional service to the Lord. And the best example is set by Sri Vajrangaji or Hanuman, the great devotee of Lord Sri Ram. As we have already discussed, even the aborigines and cannibals can also be engaged in the devotional service of the Lord, if they happen to be under the guidance of a genuine devotee of the Lord. In the Skanda Purana, there is a narration that a hunter in the jungle became the most enlightened devotee of the Lord by the guidance of Sri Narada Muni. Therefore, devotional service to the Lord can be equally shared by every living being. Religious affiliation in terms of different countries and cultural circumstances is obviously not the common religion of the human being. Rather, the basic principle is devotional service. Even if a particular type of religious principle does not recognize the supremacy of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, the followers still have to obey the disciplinary principles laid down by a particular leader. Such a leader of a religious sect is never the supreme leader, because such a circumstantial leader comes to the position of leadership after undergoing some penance. The Supreme Personality of Godhead does not, however, require to be under the disciplinary action to become leader, as we see in the activities of Lord Krishna. The occupational duties of the castes and the orders of society following the principles of livelihood also depend on the principle of devotional service. In the Bhagavad Gita, it is stated that a person can achieve the highest perfection of life simply by awarding the results of his occupational duty unto the devotional service of the Lord. People following the principles of devotional service to the Lord can never be put into difficulty, and thus there cannot be any question of apad dharma or religion in distress, as will be explained in this book by the greatest authority, Srila Sukadev Goswami. There is no religion save and except the devotional service of the Lord, though this may be presented in different forms. Om Gyanati Mirandasya Gyananjana Shalakaya Chakshurun Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Guruve Nama Shri Chaitanya Manu Bhishtam Stapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamayam Dadati Swapadantikam Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Shiva Sadi Gaur Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare 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 Krishna, thank you for the opportunity. Very happy to be able to do some service for the pleasure of the Vaishnavas. So, this chapter is questions by King Parikshit, and Parikshit Maharaj is asking questions on so many different topics covering all different aspects. In this verse, he is asking about common religious affiliations of human society and then their specific occupational duties in the religion they are following, and then different classifications of social order. But the most essential point here is mentioned it, that no matter what place or what kind of religion someone may be affiliated to, where they may be born, the most common thing among everyone is devotional service. Everyone has to offer some service. So I remember in one of the talks, Srila Prabhupada was saying that there is no one who can say they don't offer any service to anyone. There is no one like that. Everyone has to offer some kind of service to someone. A parent, they serve their children. A teacher, they serve the students. And an employee, they serving their employees. So like that, we can see there is no being who say they don't offer service to anyone. Even in within the animal community, the animals, they also have their babies and they take care of them. So everyone has to offer service. That's the essential thing for every living being. So in Bhagavatam, it's mentioned by the what's the highest occupational duty one can perform. Dharma swanusthita pumsham vishvakshena kathashriya notpadiyed yadi ratim shrama evahi kevalam. So we may be doing so many different kinds of services, but and we may be doing them very expertly, but if that service, it doesn't evoke our loving devotional service to the Supreme Lord, then it's just a useless waste of time. It's shrama evahi kevalam. There is only shrama. There is no benefit to it. So we can see there is like so many different types of people and they are doing so many wonderful things, seeing materially, but they do not have the knowledge, the understanding of what is the most beneficial occupational duty one can perform. And they even pose themselves as very learned people. It comes in different forms, different isms, but they cannot understand what's the highest occupational service just being on the mental platform. So on a material level, there's people are offering these services and they are just on the selfishness. There is either extended selfishness, which comes in like socialism, with the people are promoting their own country, patriotism. So in different ways it's presented. Or even more deeper is people are just attached to their own family or friends, people they know. But there is no understanding beyond that. So to come to that understanding, one has to come to the level of the spirit soul. And most people, they do not have even this basic understanding. So in this, in the purport, it's mentioned that devotional service is so wonderful, even the animals can be engaged. And Srila Prabhupada, he gives example of Hanuman, and then he mentions even the aborigines and the cannibals. And then he gives the example of the hunter, I guess it's the Mrigari. It's mentioned in Chaitanya Charitamrita, a very beautiful pastime. So like that, but the essential point to understand is that they can only take to devotional service by making contact with a devotee, a pure devotee of the Lord. And we can see personally in our own lives, example of Srila Prabhupada, how different devotees, they came in contact with Srila Prabhupada. And previously we may be doing whatever kind of activities, but somehow we developed this attraction to devotional service and we are able to participate in this way. But we can see people, especially these days, there is like so many distractions for people. And with the social media, it's like distraction is right in your pocket all the time. So it's so easy to forget what's the most important thing in our life to do. And it's so easy to get distracted. But if we are engaged constantly in devotional service, if we are always thinking of ways how to improve our service and how to relate better with the devotees and how to attract even others, then the distractions, they cannot touch one. So this point about different religious affiliation, I remember like when we were traveling Sankirtan, then we went to Utah, and there are the Mormons, and their leader, apparently it's like not a very ancient religion practice, but it seems like so many people, they really took to this practice. So these days we can see like any person can start their own religion, and they can even become a leader. But like in the purport here mentioned, as Srila Prabhupada says, the supreme leader, that's Krishna. And where does the actual dharma comes from? The dharma samsthapanarthaya sambhavami yuge yuge. As Krishna comes again and again to establish dharma. And that's one of the external reasons for appearance of Krishna. But then this is also important because Krishna himself established this so the human society can live in harmony. They can live in a way so they can achieve the ultimate goal of life, come to one's original spiritual consciousness. Because without that, we will never be satisfied. Savai pumsam parodharma yato bhakti adokshaje ahetuki apratihata yayatma suprasiddhati. So one may perform so many different activities, and it's amazing. A living entity can go like repeatedly in different life forms, keep on going, performing different activities, and thinking this is the best thing I can do. Because they don't have knowledge of devotional service. But it's so even more amazing once one finds devotional service, they easily give up all these activities they were so attached to. And they become so much more absorbed in devotional service that they even forget about all these activities. And just from this example of Mrigari, the hunter, can personally, when I read this first time, I was like, it's amazing. Like the hunter, he used to kill animals, and when he actually met Narada Muni, he was like, that's the only thing I know. That's what my father taught me, and that's what I've been doing. I never knew, like, there is something else I could do. So there are many people like that. They may be innocent. They may be, like, open to learning other things. But because they didn't have this fortune, good fortune, the greatest fortune to meet a devotee, they don't have the knowledge of devotion service. So we can, in our own life, we can reflect and think how grateful we can be for this opportunity that some devotee, they introduced us to devotion service and saved us from such a long journey of just working uselessly, serving useless people, and not achieving anything at the end. It's like an example is given of like beating the grain, the husk, to try to get some rice out of it, but there is nothing in it. Like, you can keep going beating, but you're not going to get anything out of it. So, but the beauty of devotional service is such that, like, if we consider the six different aspects of devotional service, six different characteristics, kleshagni, we see this, like, last a year or so, we were so restricted in so many different ways, and everyone was going through different kinds of distresses. So this point about apad dharma, Srila Prabhupada mentions that in the purport that there is no apad dharma, there is no religion in distress, because if one is engaged in devotional service, then devotional service, it gives the greatest pleasure, so there is no distress. But people who are not engaged in devotional service, for them it's like big distress. There's so many people, they are going through so much trouble, and they don't know what to do with the situation. So we have the greatest opportunity to share this knowledge of devotional service with others. Just to share a little experience, like I've been doing books at the observatory for last few weeks, and it's amazing like how many people they come and say, during this lockdown, I started looking into meditation and this spirituality. And so more and more people are becoming so much open to learning these things. And I was hearing the class how Sura Prabhu was mentioning the reports of increased book distribution. It's amazing. It's incredible. I remember one point that Srila Prabhupada mentioned, that the illusory energy will help the book distribution. So you can see how people are going through so much distress now, and they are becoming more and more open to receiving spiritual knowledge, spiritual wisdom, because they know like anything can happen any moment. So many more people are realizing this, and they are getting to this point that we have to look somewhere else. So I don't know if you have ever experienced like the taking a wrong way. I did one time, and I realized, oh, there is no vehicles coming towards me. And then the traffic was still far, so I could still make a U-turn and get out of there. But sometimes people are not able to do that. They don't have that much time to make a U-turn. They're just going the wrong way and keep going. So many times we don't see the signs. It's good to see the signs. I notice, like, even going to the top on the observatory, there are so many signs, no parking, no parking, and people still park, or one way, and people still make a U-turn and keep going. And the staff there, they are like, one way, one way. They are like shouting at them, but it's amazing. We don't see the signs. So many times we may think we are seeing things, but spiritually we may not necessarily be seeing. So it's a great opportunity to like see this this circumstance. It's a great opportunity to share Krishna consciousness with others and increase our own Krishna consciousness. And by doing that, we can become completely satisfied. We can please Krishna, the devotees, and we can help so many others. So, yeah, just to cover this point about common religious affiliations, it's interesting in the purport Srila Prabhupada mentions religious affiliation in terms of different countries, cultural circumstances is obviously not the common religion of the human being. Rather, the basic principle is devotional service. Even within different religions, they still have to do service. And they are, you know, very sincerely following this. But if we don't come to understanding what's the actual religion, the Dharma, then we will not be able to advance in our journey. So I think we can discuss some points if anyone else wants to share some things. Yes, Archita Prabhu.
There are many religious, or you could say spiritual groups in America that really stress the service aspect.
Yes.
You come and immediately you have to surrender as a volunteer to do this, do that, fix the garden, plant, you know, like that. And a lot of people who go through those organizations, they come out feeling used. You know, I spent 3 years, 5 years, 10 years, and all I did was, you know, tend the garden or, you know, clean this, clean that, and they don't feel they got anything out of it. So how can you convince somebody that if you come into the Hare Krishna movement, they're not going to have the same experience? Just serve, and don't get anything out of it.
Well, you are the best example for this. So many years of service, if we are not getting anything, how can we keep going? But Srimad Bhagavatam itself, it states, this example is given that you can, a hungry person, they can know that they are being satisfied by taking every bite of the food. We can see like when someone is really hungry and there is a nice feast, you can see they become so absorbed in taking prasadam. I want no distractions. So I personally met some people and they are like, oh, I was practicing this for so many years, and after a few years I felt it's not for me. So it's also on one's consciousness, but bhakti preshanu bhavo viraktir. When we practice bhakti, devotional service, we don't have to do anything extra to give up whatever bad habits or whatever we have. They naturally become tasteless to us. And we develop spiritual tastes. And one develops attraction to grow and do more and more service. Actually, some people, they are so absorbed, they don't have, if you ask them, you have a few minutes, I want to talk to you. It's like, sorry, I'm busy, I have so much service to do. Like someone mentioned example of Jayananda Prabhu other day, that you know, he was always doing so many things. If someone would come to him, he would engage them in service and then talk to them while they are doing something together. So, Savas Prabhu wanted to add something.
Yeah, Yeah, on that question, Archita Prabhu was mentioning, if you read in the purport, I think there's a very important point where Prabhupada says, people following the principles of devotional service to the Lord can never be put into difficulty. And thus there cannot be any question about dharma or religion in distress. So it appears that until a devotee really comes to a platform where they're really following the principles strictly,
yes,
absorbed, and then there's Bhamabhuta Prasanatmana Sochatina Kangshati. If we follow the principles, then we don't have any more hankering or lamentation, yes, for sense gratification. So it appears that it depends how strict and it depends how intense of devotional service one performs. And in that way, there won't be that difficulty thinking that they're being used and, yeah, you know, forced to do something, because here it says that that's not reality.
Yeah.
That's not real devotional service. Yeah. As we see people like the examples of pure devotees like Prahlad Maharaj.
Look, yes,
what he was put through. But he was never in distress. No, I'm not saying we should be like him. That's a very elevated position. But the point being is we should consider how and what we're doing in Krishna consciousness. And then we should make that as the litmus test for how we feel. Because really, Prabhupada said, one in Krishna consciousness is never unhappy. They're,
yeah,
jolly. They're happy. They're enthusiastic. That's the symptom of a real person who's really involved in Krishna consciousness.
Yeah. Thank you so much, Prabhu. Yes, Maharaj.
Just the last point that Srivast Prabhu made, which is really a wonderful point, and I would just take it one step further possibly, and that is a person who's deeply involved and carefully and faithfully following all the principles and has become a pure devotee, what is trouble to the ordinary person, to that person, is no trouble. Difficulty, trial, tribulation, problems are no problem, are no pain, are no trouble. Why is that? Because he's doing it for Krishna. And when you do it out of love for Krishna, it's a pleasure, even though it may externally feel like a pain. So this is the difference between a pure devotee and a non-devotee. If it doesn't please my senses, it's painful. And if it does please my senses, well, it's pleasurable. But to a devotee, if it pains my senses, well, I do it as a love offering to Krishna and get the pleasure or the grace of Krishna.
Yeah.
So that is the way of the pure devotee. Prabhupada, although he was continuously confronted with difficulties, problems, trials, tribulations, so many horrendous things, but he never complained, because to him it was loving service to Krishna. And that's the difference. When it's loving service to Krishna, we receive the bliss of Krishna consciousness in spite of the difficulty, problems, trials, and tribulations. So we have two things going: the external problem and the internal bliss, peace, strength, love, and the favor of Krishna. And that's what we all have. Therefore, we're never really affected or disturbed or shaken like that. That's what Krishna consciousness is all about. Thank you.
Thank you, Maharaj. Okay. Okay, I guess we can stop here. You have Sachitanu.
Yeah, thank you, Prabhu. Srila Rupa Goswami, Prabhupada, he summarizes and he highlights all the good characteristics of devotional service. He highlights and he,
yeah,
makes all these points. It's like, for example, we were mentioning in the beginning, you were saying, devotional service is there. You know, the parents, the children to the parents.
Yes.
The government to the citizens to the...
Yes.
And on and on. So, but devotional service in those characteristics also mentioned is very rare.
Yes.
So how is it that become very rare, right? Because devotional service in a pure way is unmotivated, unalloyed. And that's what makes it like really supreme.
Yeah.
In the regular service. That's why we don't find satisfaction. Even in our movement, you know, people join.
Yes.
Not just other groups, but also in our movement.
Yes.
People join. And after some time, somehow there's something happened.
Yeah, it's described in this verse, which talks about different characteristics of devotional service, Klesha Agni, Moksha Laghu Takrit. So there it's described, one of the reasons is material desires. So people, they leave because of material desires, because they are not being fulfilled. And many people, they may blame even devotional service, but devotional service is not to be blamed. It's your approach to it, how one is doing it, like how Maharaj was explaining that, and how Savas Prabhu quoted this verse, that when one is performing devotional service properly, they will naturally feel nourished, and their hankerings and lamentations, they will go away. They will become prasannatma, very happy. So, thank you. Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai, Srila Prabhupada ki jai.